This morning, I'm teaching. I don't know. It feels different to me. The way I'm teaching today feels different to me. I normally do the verse by verse thing, and you guys know that. And today, I feel like I'm reading a whole bunch of scripture, and then just kind of puking Jesus all over the place. Is the best way I know to put it. And I don't mean that in any kind of like crude way. I just that's just how I feel about it. And to be honest with you, that's been my heart this week as we've come to today, was that I wanted to tackle us as a church, clearly understanding as a group of people what it means to be saved, what it means to be born again. And right off the bat, it would be real easy for church people, and if you grew up in church, then maybe you're church people. I'm church people because I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher and all that. And, I think for church people, it'd be real easy for us to go, you know, well, I've got this figured out. You know, we go on and, you know, get us a table and, not be late, you know. But I think this morning, if you'll let God speak to your heart, I think that God wants us, and I know that he does. He wants us. Paul talks about how we need to have the gospel preached to us, and we need to preach it to ourselves. And this morning, that's basically what we're doing. And so the message is the same message you've heard 1,000 times. But I just pray that in the midst of it this morning, that God would speak to your heart, that you would listen to him and whatever it is that he wants to say. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you're a new believer. Maybe God's going to use this morning to help equip you to be able to share Christ with somebody that you know and love. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're just like trying to like, you don't even know what the church thing is really about. And you're just kind of hanging here today. And I just want you to know that we're glad that you're here. And I want you to know that this message is really for you and that God wants to speak to your heart through this. And so this morning, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and grab it out. If you don't have a Bible, do not fear. We have Bibles near. I didn't do that on purpose. Our ushers are going to come and they've got Bibles. Just throw your hand up if you want one. They will bring you one. And if you don't own one, you can keep that one as a gift, and we want you to have it. Grab a Bible, get a Bible, borrow it. If you don't own one, take it home with you and read it. Let God speak to you through it. It is his word. That is the deal. So this morning, this passage, the first passage, we're doing two passages today. One's out of the book of John in chapter 3. That's the first one. And then the second one is out of the book of Romans, and we'll get to that in just a little while. But John 3 today, we're going to kind of walk through this first part of the chapter of John 3 and talk about some things that are going on here. Love this passage of scripture because you've got a guy that's a leader. You got a guy that's a part he's one of the big dudes, one of a man of the Pharisees, you know, as it says in the text there, and a leader. One of the Sanhedrin, and it's kind of one of these big wig guys. And I love to see guys like this come to Jesus and start these conversations that we have now as God's word, and we have this in chapter 3 of the book of John. And this morning, as we enter into this, I want to ask some questions that he's asking, this guy named Nicodemus, and I want to ask a couple of questions. And the questions I want to ask are this: what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? I mean, quite frankly, probably the most important question that we could ever know the answer to in our lives, right? I mean, if we're really truthful, if we believe in Jesus, we believe in what has happened, then we've got to agree that that's probably like the most important question that we need to know the answer to. But the truth is this, is that we live in the South. And that, a lot of us that grew up in the church have these ideas of what it means to be saved, of what it means to be born again. And then some of us have no idea what it means. And if we were just straight up honest, we'd be like, I'm clueless. And so this morning, I want to try to defeat that for us. Because there's no reason for us to not understand this just very basic concept of the gospel. And it's this understanding of what Jesus has done for us that by him we can be saved, we can be born again. Nicodemus, this guy here, is asking some of the same questions. I want to go ahead and read chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That's how we know he was kind of one of the big wig guys. When saying a ruler of the Jews, he was one of the rulers. He was one of the big government guys. And in verse 2, it says this. It says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, Jesus comes right out of the chute with it, right? Like Nicodemus just like, hey, you gotta be with God with what all the stuff, and Jesus is like, bam. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've got this great conversation here where Jesus is laying some really important stuff out on the line. And Jesus is getting at something here. Nicodemus has come and he's kind of wanting some answers. At first he was wanting to know, you know, is he really with God or what? And Jesus just, he doesn't even answer the question. He just goes straight on to like, hey, you know, this is the deal. You got to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. And so this conversation as it goes, Jesus keeps using this terminology to be born again. Been born again. You know, if I think back, we have three little girls, and I have seen all three of my girls be born. And I don't know about you if you have not seen or seen that ever, but to see a grown man go back into his mother's womb could not possibly be a pretty sight, if that were even possible. Nicodemus is asking about it. He's like, dude, what's up with that? Are you saying that this is what I'm supposed to do? And Jesus goes to clarify here. In verse 5, he says this, says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk about that for just a second. I want to talk about the water and the Spirit. The water, I think, is the given. That's when we were born. Into this world from our mothers, born of water. And then of the Spirit is a whole other thing. I think it's important there that when we look at that scripture, when we look at that, you know, it's not just talking about, you know, whatever Spirit. This is talking about the Spirit, capital S right there, okay? The Holy Spirit, talking about God. That if we are going to, we've got to be born of God. This term born again is one of those things that I think that, you know, we can throw that stuff around sometimes, and in our heads we think it means one thing, but in all actuality to God it doesn't always mean something like what we think it does. I think that it's important, and this is the reason that it's important for us to seek God through his word, for us to have a biblical understanding of things like this, of things like the word saved. What's it mean to be saved? I've been saved off the side of the road a bunch of times. Tow trucks and friends, trailers, and all kinds of stuff have saved me on the side of the road. But that's not what this is talking about. It's important for us to seek out what God intends for these things to mean, what this is about. I think that for us, I think for a lot of us, growing up in church, and if you didn't grow up in church, please forgive me for, you know, kind of talking about the church thing. But for those of us that grew up in church, there's a whole lot of us that have really struggled through the whole thing of like, what does it look like for us to be saved? You know, for us to be saved for some people is that they went to church and they had good church attendance and they're really good people, right? Good people. Had a conversation with somebody this week about being good, you know, and the conversation was about, you know, they were talking to me, and it was a good conversation. They were talking to me about, you know, someone that they know that they love that does not know Jesus as their Savior. And whoever this person is, and we didn't get too far in depth with it, but whoever this person is, they were saying that this person feels like that because they are a good person, they're good to go. And we were having the conversation of just, you know, this whole idea of like, you know, I'm glad that it doesn't work that way. By the way, it doesn't work that way, in case you didn't know. This is not about how good we can be. We can't be good enough. And I told them in the conversation, I said, I'm glad that it's not that way, because I'd be scared to death that like I was like pretty good most of my life, and I would get to the pearly gates one day, and I'm looking at God, and there's Jesus, and we're all like, you know, I'm like, hey guys, what's up? You know, I'm ready to party. Let's do it, you know. And God look at me and go, oh, Chris, you were really good, but you weren't good enough. Missed by that much. I mean, seriously. We can't be good enough. We can't earn saving ourselves. That passage, that born of the Spirit, is an understanding for us that we see also in other passages of Scripture that is talking about that first God speaks to our heart, draws us near. We feel led by Him inside us to come to Him, to want to be saved, to want forgiveness of our sin. You see, God has to do the work. We can't save ourselves. Great thing is He has done the work. We're gonna keep going. We're gonna keep talking about some of this stuff. You've got later on in verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We can't completely explain it. Can't completely understand it. But we understand this much, and that's that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, speaks to our hearts. I think back to the time when I came to know Christ. By the way, that only happens once. We come to Christ. Now, when I was a kid, it's a little bit of my testimony, I guess, and maybe some of you have heard this before, but when I was a younger kid, I actually went through the motions of what it looked like for me as a kid, what it looked like for me to be saved. I walked an aisle. Of course, Dad was a preacher, so I walked an aisle. It was on a Sunday night, and I understood that if I would walk the aisle and if I would get wet, everybody would be happy and I wouldn't go to hell. So that sounded pretty cool to me. I was like, I don't want to burn, and if everybody's happy, maybe we'll get Dairy Queen tonight, okay? This is life in Western Kentucky, all right? That's just the way it was. And so, you know, that was me. Well, then later on, you know, right before my freshman year of high school, I was at a student camp, which is probably part of the reason, I think, a lot of the reason why I ended up going into youth ministry for several years. And you know, I went to a student camp, and while I was at camp, God just spoke to my heart. And He just showed me that, Chris, you don't know me. You know a lot about me. You've been through some motions, but we don't have a relationship. And it was at that moment that I saw how desperately I needed to be saved. There's that word, saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from ourselves because of our sin. You see, our sin would lead us to believe that we could save ourselves, right? I mean, that's the way we work, especially us guys, man. We're like, you know, I got this. No, I'm good. I got this. No problem. You know, we don't need anything, right? But the truth is that we cannot save ourselves. How many conversations I have with people where they say, well, you know what, I'm thinking about, you know, really turning my life over to the Lord and asking for forgiveness of my sin, all this stuff, but I just want to get some things straight. I just want to get my ducks in a row. If that is the thought behind what would happen before we are actually saved, that is saying, I don't need Jesus to save me, I'm going to save myself and then take myself to Jesus. He wants us like we are. Our junk, our sin, our wretchedness, our terrible skeletons in the closet, every bit of it. He wants every bit of it. We cannot clean ourselves up enough. There is no getting ready. The Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. We either respond or we do not. God starts working in your heart. If you start feeling God working in your heart, and I got to be honest with you, I'm praying that today God is working in some people's hearts today that don't know him. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're like, well, I'm not really sure if I know him. I think I know him. I kind of know him. I'm not real sure, but I kind of think I do or not. I'm not real sure. What is that? I mean, that sounds like hell in of itself. You know, I mean, we should know. We should know if we know Jesus. We should be, let me ask you a question. Do you own a car? Do you live in a house? Are you married? Are you in a relationship? Oh, that one could be sticky. But you can answer those questions for me, right? Like you go, yeah, I got a car. I've got a beautiful car. 1981 Chevrolet Citation. Unbelievable hot rod. Not so much. But you know, I think for us, we gotta get that we can know that we know Jesus is our Savior. There's absolutely no reason for us to ever walk this planet and not know whether or not we know Jesus. That is like the worst possible thing I can think of. Jesus died on the cross to take us like we are. And not for us to clean ourselves up and make ourselves pretty to take us to church. But for us to come to him as we are with all of our junk so that he can do the cleaning that needs to be done. That's it. We need forgiveness for our sin. We need him to take our sin from us. We're going to need him for the rest of our lives to save us from the sin that we are going to commit in the future. That, by the way, the cross, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is not just good enough for the stuff we've done in the past. It's good enough for the stuff that we haven't even done yet. Because becoming a believer doesn't mean that we have been made perfect in sin. We're still going to sin. It means that we've been made righteous, perfect in the sight of God. That when he looks at us, he no longer sees our sin. He sees the death that Christ has done for us. Let's go back for just a second. You go all the way back. You go Adam. I'll go Adam and Eve on you for a minute. I did this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to do it again. If you go all the way back, go back to the garden. It's great, awesome. You know, it's like the rock and roll garden of gardens here, okay? It's like everything was perfect. I mean, nobody was like, you know, no miracle grow needed. Everything was just kind of flourishing. You know, I mean, like this party was so good that like people weren't even wearing clothes at it, okay? And Adam and Eve, they're hanging out, and it's this beautiful, no sin involved, no nothing, you know, it's all good. It's as God made it. And there's this one tree, and the one tree that God tells Adam and Eve, he's like, hey, you guys, look, don't eat from that tree. Everything else good to go. If you eat of that tree, there will be a punishment, and the punishment is death. And I'm just telling you, just stay away from it. And of course, you know, what ends up happening? You know, and Satan starts to tempt them toward doing this, and he starts telling them, this is what we know as original sin. And original sin is this, is that, you know, that Adam and Eve went and they ate of the tree because what? Because Satan told them that if they would, they would be like God, right? That's our sin. Pick one of your sins. Just pick one. And at the end of that sin is the thought that you think that you know better than God does for you. You're basically saying, I can be God in this moment. I know that God doesn't want me to do this. I know this wouldn't please him. But in this moment in time, I know better for myself. And so I'm choosing this over him. I don't think about our sin a whole lot like that. But that's the way it works. You see, because sin entered into the world, you know, God is just. He's God. He's not gonna lie. He's not gonna go back on a promise. He's not gonna do something he said he wasn't going to do. I mean, you know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, he's God. He's faithful. And he's loving and he's all those things, but he's also just. And so for this, you know, what he said, you know, if you eat of the deal, you know, death is gonna come. So then comes along what? We have in the Old Testament the law. If God gives Moses these, you know, incredible tablets, and Charlton Heston, you know, recreates it all. And we got the Ten Commandments. And so then God's, you know, here's the deal, and we're supposed to keep his commandments, supposed to keep his law, right? So you know, to try to make up, we're supposed to live by this, and we get that, and we have the Old Testament, and we still believe in the Old Testament. But the beautiful thing is that we can't keep the law. There's not a single person in the room here that has kept every single commandment. And if you came up to me after the service and you said, "Hey, I've actually kept all the commandments," like right then and there, I'd be like, "You are not keeping a commandment right now. You are lying to me right now." All right. And if I had a video camera that could go back through your life, we would pull out some sin of your life. You know, I've actually met people who are like, "I've never sinned," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh," you know. Come down off of the magic carpet that you were flying on. We can't keep the law. We can't save ourselves. We are going to sin, and we do. And it leads to death because that was the promise. And so God being just means that death is going to come for us unless there's a way for someone else to take it for us. You see, Jesus was the wild card. Jesus was the wild card that I can't even imagine what it had been like through the Old Testament to have been like, you know, always trusting in God that he was going to provide a way for salvation to come, but not really know what it was. Like there was a whole lot of stuff leading up to it, and we have all kinds of scripture talking about it. And, you know, God spoke through people like Isaiah to pin things that are so dead on accurate with basically just talking about Jesus hundreds of years, thousands of years before he even came. But Jesus came and Jesus lived the perfect life as God himself came and was man, humbled himself to live a perfect life, making him the only possible candidate, the only possible candidate to be the perfect sacrifice to take the place for the death that you and I deserve. So we have this passage. This passage goes on. I want to read John 3:16. Maybe you've heard this one before. And it says this, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." I think that's important. I think there's a lot of people that don't understand why Jesus really came. And he's helping us here to see why he didn't come, which was not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This isn't just like friend picking you up on the side of the road, save you. This is being saved from our sin. It's being saved from ourselves. It's being saved from eternal damnation. This is being saved from hell. I gotta say this though. To be saved from hell is not the only reason to be saved. God doesn't just save us when we die. He does that through Jesus. But he saves us at the moment that we receive Jesus as our Savior, we're saved. And life changes. My life changed when I came to know Jesus. My life changed. It made me perfect here, maybe perfect in the eyes of God, but it didn't make me perfect here. I still struggle with sin and still have to fight through those things. But the beauty of it is that as soon as I came to know Christ, I actually had the ability within me, because of Christ living in me, I have the ability to say no to temptation, to overcome sin. No longer am I a slave to sin. Goes on in verse 18 right here and says this, is whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. I got to tell you, there's a lot to this verse and the two verses before it, but one steady thing that we see it right here, and we see it in 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever what? Believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me just help you to clarify something right here, right now, because this is sending Southerners to hell. I really believe it. And probably a bunch of other people too, because it's not just people in the South that are guilty of this. But if you have in your head that you being saved is a product because you have been good enough, or because of somebody you were related to, or because of something you did other than putting your faith, trust, belief in Jesus and making him your Savior, I got to tell you, you're not saved. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life is a heart issue. It is not a going through the motions issue. That means that there are people out there probably like I was when I was a kid that walked an aisle, got wet, made everybody happy, got my fire insurance, I thought. And at the end of the day, I didn't do anything. And I got to tell you, I'm so thankful that God came back to me the summer before I was a freshman in Panama City Beach, Florida, of all places, and spoke into my heart and said, Chris, you don't know me. Know me. And I realized in that moment how desperately I needed to be saved from my sin. How desperately I needed to be saved from myself. And I asked Christ to be the Lord of my life, and I ask for forgiveness of my sin. And from that day forward, it's been different. But you see, it's different because I believed in my heart. Was it different because I walked another aisle, because I got wet again? The reason people are baptized, we'll talk about this afternoon, the reason that people are baptized is for the sole purpose of telling the world, Jesus is my Savior. I am a Christian, and I am not ashamed. That is why we're baptized. It's no like magical step in the process. It's to tell people that we know Jesus. There's a step there. It's a step of stepping out and saying, hey, I'm making it public. Jesus is my Savior. Romans 10 says this. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. And in verse 9 is going to absolutely wreck somebody here today. I just believe it. Verse 9 says this. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's strong. Go verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, because we have a just God. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. The thing that I love about this passage, I love a lot of things about this passage, but one of the things that I really love about this passage is that it makes so clear the heart issue that's going on. Verse 9, because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in what? Your heart. That God raised him from the dead, that Jesus, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. Heart, heart, heart. I don't see anything that says water, water, aisle, aisle, good works, good person, who your granddaddy was. There comes a point in your life when God speaks to your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and is calling us near to him. You may even be here today. And maybe just even in hearing this today, there are things about this that are coming more clear for you than ever. And maybe here today, you're recognizing maybe that you don't know the Lord. Maybe you knew you didn't know the Lord before you even came in here. Maybe you didn't have a clue about the Lord before you came in here. Maybe you weren't sure about whether or not you knew the Lord or not, you know, before you came in here today. But in this moment, in this time, I think that it's important for us to just recognize that when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, that we should listen. And this morning, you have an opportunity to either respond in belief, or to respond in rejection of who Christ is and the work that he did on the cross. Not only on the cross, but that he was risen again. You see, Jesus did something that nobody else could do. Jesus not only died on a cross while we were all basically killing him, and sinning against him, but he rose again because death couldn't keep him down. And he just straight up just punches death in the face and says, I am God and I conquer death, and I'm proving to you by doing so that my death was not in vain. My death was to take on the sin for the whole world, because he came to save the world. So this morning, you have to ask this question. What's it mean to be born again? What's it mean to be saved? To be born again is in fact part of the baptism thing that we do. I mean, part of that is the symbolism, part of the symbolism of baptism is that understanding that we have an old life that dies and we have a new life in Christ, that we are born again. And I think for some folks here today, I think they're looking for a new life. I got to hang out with a couple this week that were probably more down on their luck than anybody here. I'm just going to take a stab at that. And you say, well, Chris, you don't know my situation, and I'm not trying to minimalize anything you might be going through. This is a family, so husband and wife, and their dog. And they were traveling. They went and traveled across country to go see family, and their car broke down in Oregon, and they're from Daytona Beach, Florida. And they didn't have any money. They weren't ready for that. They thought they were just going to turn around and drive back home. And so her family couldn't really help them or do anything for them. And they've got the dog, which makes it a little tough, you know, and they've had the dog for a long time. So, I mean, I understand. And so they started hitchhiking back to Florida. And I was just one of many people along the way that just got to spend a few moments with them. And I just got to tell you that I was just incredibly blessed to hang out with these people. They've been on this journey for like a month. And as we talked, they both know the Lord. And here's these people that they've lost their jobs. And they don't have a car. And they're pretty sure that by the time they get back, they probably won't have a place to live. And they started talking to me about how concerned they are for people that they run into that seem to just feel like that their world is crashing down around them so desperately bad in such a bad way that they don't even know if they can go on living. And I know some of those people, and you do too. And you may be sitting here today, and you may be one of those people. That the stuff that's going on in your world right now seems like it is so heavy that you don't even know how you could possibly keep going. We've all had those days. And here's this couple with their dog. Homeless, jobless, carless, hitchhiking, camping out under overpasses on the interstate. And they're talking about just how lucky they are to have Jesus. It wasn't a put on, it wasn't a show. It was the real deal. And it challenged me. It challenged me with recognizing that sometimes what we think is so bad isn't all that bad. But it also challenged me to recognize the gift I have from God, that while I was still a sinner, that Jesus would die on the cross and shed his blood once and for all, that he could save me. And not just save me once, I mean save me forever. His blood, what he did, is powerful enough that it is done in my life, and I know that. And I rest in that. And God's word teaches me that. And Satan can't take that away from me. And let me just tell you, you may be here today and maybe you don't know whether or not you really know Jesus or not. Or maybe you know that you don't know Jesus for sure. But I just want you to know that today you can know. We had a young lady that came to know Christ in the first service. I believe with all my heart that God is speaking to the hearts of several people this morning through the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to your heart this morning, you have an opportunity to respond. And you're either going to respond with rejecting him and believing in what he's done, or you're going to respond in confessing sin, asking forgiveness, and saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. We would love to pray with you and talk to you about that today at the end of our service. For the rest of us that know Christ, we should be challenged and thankful and brought to our knees in worship for what he has done for us. That we should recognize that the greatest gift we've ever gotten is in Jesus. I had somebody give my family a gift this week, and it probably wasn't a big deal to a lot of people, but it was a big deal to my family this week. Helped provide for my family. It was something small, but it meant the world to me and my family. I'd do anything for those people that did that for us. But you know what? As great and awesome as that was, greater is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, his son, sacrificed on a cross for you and me, taking the death that I deserve, that I might be saved. That's why we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from ourselves. We need to be saved from hell. And this morning, if you need to be saved, don't put it off any longer. Let's pray together. God, I love you. God, I just pray that that's all that comes through. just pray that my love would come through for you, God, in everything that I do. God, I pray, Lord, that I would overcome my pride. And God, I just pray that this morning, God, that you would be glorified in all of this. God, that in all of your word, your scripture, your teaching, in worship to you, God, that in every single ounce of it, that God, we would look and we would see you. God, I pray, Lord, for those that don't know you this morning, God, that they would come to you today. God, that they wouldn't ignore what you're doing in their hearts, but God, that they would see it for you and that they would respond. God, that today could be the day of their salvation. Save them. God, for the rest of us, God, challenge us to not take for granted the gift of Jesus Christ. We love you. Be glorified in us. In your name.